First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. Kind of a strange text. And know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. And the scripture I want to focus on is verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Amen. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Let's bow our hearts for a moment. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, you're so great, so wonderful. Lord, for all the things that you've done, and your wisdom is just beyond anything that man can comprehend. And yet, Lord, in this day, you have so wonderfully come and showed yourself and showed us these great things, Lord, that ages look for in the past and we're not able to see. I pray tonight, Lord, that you just break through bread of life to your children, Lord, and pray that we just be allowed to sit in your heavenly places in your presence this now. And so we just ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Title is He That's Joined Unto the Lord. Amen. He that is joined unto the Lord. Sometimes I think we need more light up here.
Yes.
Your brother Daniel, amen. That or say yes to that just then, so maybe we should look into that. Maybe a desk to that. Amen. I mean, he's happy for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for it. You know, the Holy Spirit, we know, you know, it's the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, just all the different things. It's all one in the self, saying there's only one God, right? There's not several different ones. And so that Holy Spirit is just one of the names that we have from the Scriptures. And, you know, he has a nature about him.
That's right.
You know, he's a person. Person, I mean, he has a, you can grieve the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
Right? He has a will, he has a desire, he has a purpose. And I think he, as I was praying a little earlier, I said, Lord, I, you know, pray that you come. I know, Lord, that you want to come more than we want you to, right? We know that. He has desires and he has all the different things about his nature. And so his nature is godly. It's holy.
Right.
It's set apart. It's sanctified. And it's, as the scripture tells us, it's a gift to us. And of course, now this may be something that would stumble people, but the Holy Ghost is a temporary gift to
right.
us. It's temporal. And so that may seem strange, but let me just kind of break it down here just a little bit. And so, you know, we are taught to believe, we know from the Word, that and taught in this message that inside of the believer is a seed gene of God. It's a portion of God that was always there, and it lay dormant, and it take the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the Word, and to quicken that. And so it's there. It's given to us predestinated. And I heard the prophet say to us the other day, you know, that speaking of the Holy Ghost, and he said, that's a temporary gift. He said, the real gift is that soul down inside.
Right.
That's the real gift. And so when you begin to realize that deposit down inside you, that was the gene that tied you to your Heavenly Father, that's all you could ever be. And when you grow up, that's what you will be. Right? Inside of you, you're going to manifest. Listen, you didn't start this.
Right.
God did.
Right.
You know, the scripture says in St. John chapter 1 that we're not born of blood or of the will of man or will of the flesh, but of God.
Right.
Right? And he that has begun a good work in you, he will finish it. Right? I was reading where he said to Jeremiah, before you was ever formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations.
Yeah.
I think God knows what he's doing.
Right.
So, somehow or another, we got to get out of this, in this rut that we're all in, that is probably throughout all ages that we've been in, is that is thinking that there's so much of this, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and it's really God doing it.
Right.
He said he would present to himself a bride without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. And so, God has put that deposit down in you, and you're coming.
Right.
It's ordained that the word, God will send somebody that will preach a word that will quicken what's inside you. And when that becomes alive, that is God. That is eternal life. As the prophet said, you can no more die than God can die.
Right.
Right? You are born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You have a deposit of the Word in you, just like Jesus Christ was the Word. You are. We know these are things that we've known and have heard so many times. And so, you know, when that's quickened you, then that becomes who you are, and then that begins to grow, and that's forming into what you'll be throughout all eternity.
Yeah.
That's what you are. And so that's the real you. And that's eternal life. Right?
Yeah.
And so what it may sound like trick words or whatever, but the Holy Ghost, the gift of Christ coming upon you to quicken these things and quicken the word to you so that you can come alive in him, what's growing inside of you is the same thing. Right? So a gift of the Holy Ghost is here for a reason, but when it's all over and done with, you're going to stand there on that side. He took nothing but eternal life because
right.
God ordained it to be. You're not going to need help from anything because you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? But here in this life, while we're still struggling and we're still going through and identifying with this world and the weaknesses, we need help.
Right.
Yeah.
So we need a gift of God to come upon us and to quicken us and move us on down the road.
Right.
And so, that's his nature. And so really, the Holy Ghost comes upon us, and he is helping us, and he's watching over the forming of the Word in you. He's watching over the forming of the same eternal life that he is in you.
Right?
Right.
Right.
And when we're all there, it may sound like a trick words, but we'll have that. That's who we are. And so, he that's joined to the Lord, that's what you're joined to, right? And so then we think about ourselves and we realize that we have a makeup. Each one of us have a certain nature about us. God made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? The human body is so complicated, they still don't have it figured out, right? It is probably the most complicated thing in the universe. It may not be, but I think it is. But God made us. He made us with all of our members and all the different things. And he made each one of us with a certain nature. You know, and I know that we're born into this world as sinners with a fallen nature, but there's a part of you that's you, and that's who your nature will always be. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon it, he'll take out the things, the sinful things, and change your life. But there's a certain nature, character about you that doesn't change. That's who you are.
Yeah.
Right? And if you listen to Things That Are To Be, Brother Ram talks about that. And, you know, the life that we go to there, it's just a continuation of this one here. What God is doing here, we just move right on. Right?
Yeah.
And so, we have a certain makeup and a certain character. And so, I'm going to read just a couple of quotes here as we go. Brother Branham, in Things That Are To Be, he says, now notice, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, I don't mean to add to the word or take from it, because you're not supposed to do that. Revelation 22 said, whosoever will add the word or take word out of it. But let me just make this as not as an additive, but just to bring out a point. In my Father's house are many kinds of mansions. I don't believe that when we get there that we'll all be just, everybody will look just exactly alike. I don't believe that we'll all be blondes or brunettes or little or big or tall giants. I believe God is a God of variety. The world proves that. He's got big mountains. He's got little mountains. He's got plains. He's got deserts. He's got different things because he made it that way. He wanted it. And he made the seasons, summer, winter, spring, and autumn. And he made the seasons. And it shows he's a God of variety. And he made you a variety. Some men are real blusterous, some are real dogmatic, and others are fine, and others are kind. And you just find all different kinds of people in his kingdom. See, look at St. Peter and judge him by Andrew. See, Andrew is that prayer warrior that just stayed on his knees all the time. And the Apostle Peter was one of those firebrands that preached and so forth. Paul was more scholarly, like a prophet or something, and sat back. And see, Moses wrote the four books of the Bible, and then he talks about how that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were told what it was, but that Paul was actually the one who wrote the New Testament. So God made us different. He made us with different natures. And some people are just like he described. Some are quiet spoken. Some are loud. Some have a soft voice. Some have a deep voice. We're all different. God made us that way.
Right. Yeah.
And so when you are joined to the Lord, he doesn't change that.
Right.
But yet he comes in and uses that.
Right.
He uses that. So when you find out that when you're joined into the Lord, you become a unique individual. You are a unique individual, but you become a unique individual in the Lord.
Right.
There's nobody else like you.
That's right.
Now you're taking God with all his nature and his holiness and what he's here to do and the purpose he brings. And now he comes and he marries up with you, joins with you, and you become one with him. There's not two. Not two. We got to realize that we're not two. When you have the Holy Spirit, you are one with the Lord. You might be in a body that's lying to you and trying to work against you and all that, but you are joined to the Lord. You're one and molded together, as a prophet would say, vulcanized or whatever, like a tire patch. You become joined to the Lord, then you become a unique individual in God, and God can do things through you. With that molded nature, him and you molded together can do things that he will not do through anyone else, especially for you. You got to believe that.
Right.
You are a special individual to the Lord. He's not like a forgetting about you.
Right.
He is there to walk with you every step of the day, fellowship with you every step of the day, every step of the way.
Yeah.
Right? And to be there with you, lead you, guide you. And so when we find out that we're an individual like that, then we are not to act like try to act like somebody else. I know I come out of Pentecost, and I know the things we saw back there, and everybody wanted everybody to act the same. They all wanted you to speak in tongues and all do this and all do that. And so, but we know that we're unique individuals in the Lord, and that anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us will do certain things through us. But God doesn't want us to try and be like anybody else. He wants us to be a unique individual in the Lord. And so we're not to be trying to emulate someone.
Right.
You know, emulate is to try and be like them, but it also means to try and outdo them. So, you know, we have no business trying to be like somebody, and we have no business trying to outdo someone.
Right.
Our job is to be one with the Lord and just be what he wants us to be. And because he knows the gift he's put in your life, and God's gifts always find their place, so he's got something for you to do, a place for you to go, something for you to accomplish with his anointing upon you.
Right.
We all have that. And there's nobody, no big eyes, no little ears, everybody in his kingdom. I know I look up very much to some of these ministers that in the message that have been around and done so many things, but in the truth of the matter, in God's economy, there's no difference. We're all the same.
Right?
Right? Remember how the prophet said, that even the when they would have a feast and they would invite, and the owner of the house had to provide the garments, and he would put a garment on everybody, and they all were dressed the same. And it comes to mind, I heard somewhere like that, maybe that even put something underneath them so they were all the same height.
Right.
Just and so these are types. So when we all get there, we're all, they're all going to be the same, just trophies of the grace of God.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to try and emulate. We don't want to try and outdo someone. We don't want to do that. We just want to be ourselves in the Lord. So the prophet tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, he said, he's speaking of the nature of people, because we all have different natures.
Right.
He said, now on this side, when people get converted and their mind is set right on Christ, he said, if they're just a little scholarly and they don't keep in prayer, they'll get real cold and stiff and starchy and indifferent. They're still Christians, right? Notice what he said, if they don't keep under prayer, they'll begin to be starchy and cold and indifferent. And he said, and then just a little bit, and then if they're just a little bit nervous, so now he's talking about a different type of people, if they're a little bit nervous, if you don't watch, they'll just get radical and wild on this side, see? They go into sensations and everything. So he's showing you the two different sides. He said, but the real church is a real sane gospel right in the middle of the road. It's not a cold, starchy, neither is it fanaticism. It is a real good, old, warm gospel, heartfelt love of God going right down in the middle road, calling from both sides. That's right. He said, now, and how are you going to get that, church? How are you going to get that? He said, right out of the word, the Urim and Thummim. And so he's telling us that real Christianity, it's not fanaticism, and it's not starchy. It is it's a middle of the road where God is moving on people, and we're calling in from both sides, and we don't separate ourselves from someone because they're different than us, and we don't try to act like them. We just be ourselves. Amen. And so we don't want to try and emulate someone, and we don't want to try and outdo someone. You know, and I know this was just a testimony from Perry Green and talking to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham talked about emulation, competition, right? Emulation, trying to be like someone or trying to outdo someone. So competition, trying to be better at something than someone else is. Listen, if God wants somebody to preach in such a way they can run up the sides of the walls while they're doing it, that don't mean everybody else does it, right? If they're gifted to do that, let them do that. But as long as it's in the Word. And so competition is a slippery slope. That's my words of saying it that way. So, you know, when we play sports and things like that, look how many times maybe you've seen where sports goes a little bit too much competitive, and now next thing you know, there's a fight going on, or there's, right? So be competitive. You know, we as Christians, we're supposed to prefer one another. You remember the testimony, he said that, and Perry Green said this, that he played darts, and if he got 5 darts in the bullseye, Brother Brandon would get 4.
Right.
If he got 6, Brother Brandon would get 5. Mm-hmm. Right? I think, remember the story when he killed that record, whatever it was, and was there, and there was some other man come there, and Brother Brown just let that man have it. He obviously had the trophy, but let them said, you know, if there's any joy in winning, let the other one have it.
Right.
See, so that's the nature of Christ, and so we are to prefer one another. And so we're not here, we're here to represent Christ and not build egos, things like that. And so we want to be careful. Not saying we can't have a volleyball or something like that, but you want to be careful with that.
Right.
Amen. Remember I've said before, you don't want to ever tease someone unless you love them. Because if you hurt their feelings, you got to be able to make that right. And I wouldn't suggest, even if you do love them, that you hurt their feelings, because you realize when you offend someone, if they are a Christian, there's a unity between them and the Holy Spirit. And when they're offended, how do you know the Holy Spirit's not offended?
Right.
And we know that offenses do come, and we know what the Scripture says about that. So we don't want to be guilty of offending someone. And we might do that by mistake. We might. We do that sometimes. We maybe overlook something, but we certainly don't want to purposely do those things. Amen. And so, love one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. So we don't want to try and be like someone else or try and outdo someone else. So I'm speaking of coming together, unity of he that's joined to the Lord, that an individual character that he wants us to be in ourselves and just act out what he wants us to be. So the Holy Spirit is dispensational. And what I mean is that through dispensations, different times throughout history, the Holy Spirit has a different nature, a different thing that he does. So, you know, as I said a while ago, there's only one God, right? And so when you read in the Old Testament when the Spirit of God come upon someone and they went out and they killed a whole bunch of men, that's the same Holy Ghost, right? Different nature, though, because of a different time, a different thing. You don't find that in the New Testament. You don't find God in the New Testament anointing people to go out and kill people, right? Same Holy Spirit, though. Same Spirit of God, just a different dispensation. So it's a different time in the unfolding of his plan of redemption. Back in the Old Testament, they had physical enemies of God's people, and they had to be dealt with and so forth. But now when the gospel went to all the Gentiles worldwide, it was different. And so it's a different nature now. And so in the early church, when the early church, you realize, and I'd heard this recently, but when in the Old Testament, you had prophets, they were anointed, and kings might have been anointed, and certainly it just wasn't just everybody was anointed with the Spirit of God. But when you come to the New Testament, and God poured out his Spirit on all flesh, now everybody had access to what only prophets and righteous men of the Old Testament and kings and priests had back then. Now it's he's pouring that out on all flesh, right? And we know in that all flesh is both just and unjust. We know that. But he pours out his Spirit on. And so now that you come to the New Testament and everybody has got access to that, then you got to prove, there had to be some proof of that. And so God put the supernatural, the gifts, the tongues, interpretation, he had those things in there. And so the early church had the ability, the supernatural things were happening within like it was with prophets of old and that sort of thing. And so the entire church now has access to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the things that come with that.
Right.
That was how that the Lord was changing the way he was doing things from the Old Testament to the New Testament and the early church. And all through the ages, the Holy Spirit, when he would come upon a people, he would come up on them to manifest the purpose of that day that fit the plan of redemption as it unfolded for that day. Okay? And so, it's God's responsibility. It's not your responsibility to try and manifest the word of this hour. It's his responsibility to do that. It's your responsibility to be one with him. To let him lead you and guide you. And so, we understand that. So throughout all the ages, when the Holy Spirit would come up on the early church, and they went out with the boldness of a lion to spread the gospel. But a little bit later, he changed. The Holy Spirit upon his church now, through the dark ages, well, they weren't bold and going out and doing the things like that. They were giving their lives. Same Holy Ghost, right? So there's a manifestation for the day, and that's what the Holy Ghost will do when he comes for the day. You don't find him so much today anointing people to give their lives for the gospel, right? That's not the theme, the main thing today. And so he comes through the ages, and he anointed Luther for the message of justification, and a bunch of people there to believe it when he did it. He anointed Wesley with sanctification, and had a whole bunch of people that he anointed to receive that. In the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you were there, what would have been your responsibility in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ? Your responsibility would be to recognize his coming. Mm-hmm. To recognize God, what God was doing. That's we can understand that.
Right.
And to not recognize that, well, then you wouldn't have access to it. So what's God doing today? Our responsibility today is to recognize what God is doing, and the Holy Spirit, the real Holy Ghost upon us, that's where he will guide us. That's where he will take us. Is to the word for the hour, what God is doing for the hour. He anoints somebody to express that word, a prophet, to come and be, and a people to accept it, to see it and accept it and embrace it. And so you see, God would do those things throughout the ages. And then in 1906, when it come time, a prophet was about to come on the scene. And how many remembers the pyramid that at the end of the church ages there had to be a condition that the capstone could fit to? They had to be, so the ending of Pentecost in Laodicea and coming into bride was such a fine, as the prophet said, couldn't even put a razor blade between there. So this Pentecostal movement would move and finally come into, and God would bring right on in out of that Pentecostal movement, bring us right into a bride movement, and some might even not even be able to say when it happened, right? Couldn't even tell when it left from pyramid to capstone, right? And so, but you realize when I say that, in other words, as the prophet said, there had to be a condition or a ministry right on the scene at the time that the Holy Spirit could come to.
Right.
When I say that, there was justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism made way for the Holy Ghost himself, the person. Okay? That's where we're at now. And so he would come as he did through the ages. When it come time and he's fixing to have a prophet come on the scene, he had to anoint a church and bring in an environment of supernatural. And so he brought the restoration of the gifts, and God was doing great things, and it was that kind of environment. And go listen to Brother Biscoe's testimony that he gave in Lima, Ohio, where he talked about in that kind of environment, it was real Pentecost. It wasn't what you and I have seen in our day. It was real Pentecost where God was moving great, great ways in there. And it was in that kind of environment that God raised up a prophet. Right? And so, but I'm just showing you that through each age, the Holy Spirit would come to individuals and unite with them and would put them into service for their day,
right,
to match where the plan of redemption was. So with Luther for justification, Wesley for sanctification, Pentecost, the restoration of the gifts. But what will the Holy Spirit do today? When he comes upon a people, what is his main feature? It's not Luther. It's not Wesley. It's not 1906 Pentecost restoration of the gifts. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's further down the road than that. Not to say we know we are partakers of justification, sanctification. We can't have the gifts of the Spirit operating in our midst. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have all that and not have what I'm talking about. Because we're living in a day where the person of the Holy Spirit wants to anoint you and bring you to the person of the Word. So that Word is manifested in you. So, people's always trying to get you to be like them or trying to get you to be like a previous day. Amen. So, each one of us, we're unique in the Lord. And we're unique in the Lord and unique to the age. And so God who comes and he quickens us to the purpose of his word for the day. Amen. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit is an anointing. An anointing, when we think about that, we think about oil. And because oil, as I've said, the whole world operates off of oil. Who has the oil is the ones in control. So that the church has got the Holy Ghost, the real Holy Ghost, they're the ones, the real thing. But the Holy Spirit is an anointing. So it's oil. And oil makes things work better. Oil will warm you when you need to be warm. It'll lubricate. It'll keep your engine from blowing up in your car. And it just can be used. You can cook food with it. There's so much. Because so oil makes things work better. And so when we find ourselves on this age and we have a certain age or a certain character about us that God's not going to change, and the Holy Spirit would come, and that Holy Spirit would come upon us and enable us to act out what we are,
right,
in him. To act out the gifts that we have. To act out the testimony that we have. To be what he wants us to be. That oil anoints us. And that's all what the symbology of all that is. It enables you, the Holy Spirit enables you to be a testimony. Remember when the scripture said you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you? Power for what? Power to be a witness. Right? What are you going to witness? Not somebody else's testimony, your testimony. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Right? And so, if you want to touch other lives, then the best way you can do that is to tell them about your experience.
Right.
Amen? You got to have a real experience, though. And so God wants to come in. He that's joined the Lord wants to come and be a unique person with unique gifts, anointed to carry out that. And you go and you can say it like nobody else can say it. And God sends you to those he wants to send you to. Because all the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. See, we got to remember these. We got to begin to come around to understanding that we're not here of our own doing. Right? We're not here of our own doing. He has sent us here. We got to come to grips with that. And we know that there is a flesh side of us, but we understand as Christian believers that anointing elevates us up above all that so we can be real, genuine Christians in this day. Amen. It elevates us up to where we can fulfill his purpose in our lives. Can't really do it without it. You got to have that. Amen.
Yeah.
Takes us beyond the manifestation of partial word from previous ages into the full person of the word. We have to come to grips with that to understand that what's available for the church now, when I say the church, I mean bride, what's available now is not partial. It's so much now that it is the person of Jesus Christ that you become one with. In a way that previous ages couldn't. You have to understand that. If people cannot believe that God would come down and be in Christ, reconciling the world and doing those things, if we can't believe that, then how could we believe that God would come down in us? Right? So he lifts us up beyond a partial manifestation into the full word. And When you begin to how the prophet said, well, when she knows who she is, right, she'll become an invincible army. When you come out of all these denominational mindsets and all these mindsets of man, you know, it's not God. God is not the author of confusion. What God does, he does out in the open. It's what man has come and done to overshadow it. Follow me? So it's just what man has done. But what God does, he does. And so when through the preaching of the word, we begin to realize who we are. What are we saying? That all this false stuff that gets us thinking the wrong things and the wrong ways, and when all that is moved back by the preaching of the word, then you realize who you are. You realize that you are the word. That's the hour we're in, the bride to come to realize you're the word too. And when you begin to realize that, you don't need so much of the feel-good stuff. You know who you are.
Right.
You know, I know I mentioned some things Sunday, one or two things Sunday that maybe I hadn't told here before, things that happened back in Pentecost. But there were times back in Pentecost when someone would come in that I had never seen before. And I could stand up, and it was sometimes we had a lot of testimony service, and the Lord would move on, and I'd stand up in testimony, and I would address the person, and they would come to the altar and give their heart to the Lord, right? And just like I said about the man that came in, and I told the Lord, you know, and so, and you know, those things maybe happened back there more. Because back then, that's what we wanted. That's what we were seeking after. We were Pentecost. We wanted to see the gifts of the Spirit. And that's what that was the idea that, hey, if God is in our midst, this is what's going to happen. But we find out through the Word that when we become more stable and understanding who we are in the Word, we don't necessarily need someone to come up and prophesy over us to edify our day. We know who we are. You understand what I'm saying? we're talking about coming to a more mature level, right? And so, you know, Paul and Silas, I don't think they had anybody there making them feel good when they were sitting there with chains. But they knew. They knew whether they were servants of the Lord. Amen? And so, takes us to a place where we're going on with God no matter what. No matter what happened. Whatever happens. If mama don't go, ain't hindering me. If brother don't go, it ain't hindering me. Come to that place where I don't care if I'm run over by a Mack truck, I'm going on with God because I know that He put a deposit in me that is Him. It's got to be Him.
Right?
Right? And there's a portion of me that's dying and going away. And oh, it's fighting and it's kicking and it's trying its best to stay, but it's dying. It's going away. Even in the natural. But inside there's something else that keeps pressing on and it keeps growing. And even though we find ourselves opposing ourselves so much, there's something there that's still growing and it still loves the Word and it gets more revelation and it's growing and it loves things, the things of God. And it's not stopping. It's just getting stronger and bigger and stronger and bigger while the outside's getting weaker and the trials seem to be getting harder. But yet there's something there that's just getting better. Amen. Bringing us to a place of maturity, and it's bringing us to the place, and this is parallel where we eat the book. You know, there in Revelation 10, where John is told to eat the book. Remember, this is the book that he couldn't even look on before the seals were opened. Right? So now, as the seals have been opened, and now the Lamb has made it possible that now we can feast on things we could not feast on before 1963.
Right.
You understand why I said that? Before the seals. Now we have access to things. So no wonder churches who live in a bygone day would not, that's nonsense. But you realize as the bride, we have been given access to an open book now and we are commanded to eat that book. And that book, eating that book has an effect on us. Remember, John types the bride. So we are to eat the word, and of course, the scripture said it was sweet in our mouth, but bitter in our belly. And it was said to John, now, thou must prophesy before all kindred, tongues, nations, peoples. That's still in the Gentile dispensation, because if our Gentiles was over with, he would just say, go prophesy to the Jews. But we know it's this side of rapture. So, John is a bride. We now have access to eat the book. And now we are able to go to the world in the strength of that book, in the effect of that book. And as I said this recently, I know I did, but I don't mean to repeat myself. But the scripture tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Right.
So if you go in the testimony of the Lord, and you're testifying, that's the spirit of prophecy. It's not necessarily saying, oh, thus saith the Lord, this and this. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That's the spirit of prophecy. Right? Because you don't know what your testimony is doing. Your testimony is discerning lives and reaching out. And to that person, it might be like prophecy to them. You understand? It's the word that's discerning. But you go, and my whole point is the bride comes into this place of unity with the Word, becoming the Word, when they eat the book. When you access these great things that God has revealed, and we feed on those, we take them into our bosom, we become one with it, that enables us now to go with a testimony of Jesus that we could not have had prior. See? Now we go. And what does that mean? That means you go tell the world about your experience in God and this Word that has transformed your life. You go tell them. And he has joined with you and anoints you as a unit, one with the Lord to go, and you can be what nobody else can be. And he doesn't want you being anything else. Just be. And guess what? If you have a gift of prophecy, if you have a gift of speaking in tongue, or interpretation or discernment, if that happens to be there, that's what he wants with you. But don't you try to be that because somebody else is, or because you've been told by Pentecost that, well, you've got to do this. You see what I'm saying? Don't do that. God is moving us to a place where we understand. He's taking all that false stuff and pushing it away by this word so we can stand when the prophet said she knows what to do with the word. And I when I used to hear that, I go, oh, I just don't know. I just understand that when you feed on this word and you just, it becomes your life. It puts you into that place where you know what to do. You know what to do with the word. Amen. No question about it. And so, we eat the book. We have a personal walk with the Lord, a personal testimony of this word, how it has touched our lives. You know, a preacher, if he wants to be a successful preacher, preach what sets him on fire. Preach what makes him happy. If you want to be a testimony to people you work with, to your family, you talk to them about what sets you on fire, what you love. You understand? It's not rocket science. You might only have just a little bit of this experience, a little or whatever, but you can be just as powerful because that word that you have united with, you embracing that word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of heart. And when you tell that, it'll God will send his gift to its place. Amen. Each one of us having a personal walk, a personal testimony, expressing every portion of that he's allotted to us in this day. And I'll say this, with an inward bubbling. Right? Every one of us. When you're in love, it does something to you. When you're in love, you want to tell somebody. Right? When you're in love, it shows. Right? When you're in love, it creates a bubbling. And when you understand the message, to the stream of water that's the coming out of the ground, and he said, why are you so bubbly? Is it because the animals got? No, it's because there's something inside me that's pushing me out. And that's what I'm saying. Real Christianity, regardless of who you are, if you're in love with this word, then there's something in there that wants to come out. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit anointing you to tell others. And so, to be overcomers in this stage, one of the greatest portions of being an overcomer is to be yourself in the Lord. Have a personal walk with him, but don't try to mimic anybody. Just walk with the Lord and love this word and tell people about it. And that will accomplish a lot for the kingdom of heaven. You know, that's what Brother Daniel and I do here. We just tell you what God speaks to us. We study, we pray, whatever God's moving on our hearts, we come and we share it with you. Right? Amen. Has it done you any good all these years? Mm-hmm. Hey, God knows how to send his gifts to where they belong. So we appreciate that. Amen. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We need to remember, you know, that's one of the problems with husbands and wife. I've told you, a neighbor would get into a fuss with his wife and he'd say, you just want a piece of my life. Hello? That's what marriage is. You're giving to one another. You right? And that's one of the things so wrong with marriages nowadays is they don't, well, you know, that's you and I'm me and you know, and oh, you're one.
Right.
You're one unit. And that's the problem with Christianity. See, denominational Christianity. Well, yeah, I'm married to the Lord, but no, you're one with him.
Right.
We need to search our hearts and in prayer and seeking God to say, Lord, what about me as me trying to be separate from you, that I have my own way, my own. And show me, Lord, how just to become one with you so that I'm one spirit with you. that I'm not trying to be something else and be some other, that I'm just trying to be me as you would have me be me as I am one with you. Amen. Amen. That's a tall order. But you know what? God has promised in this day that the Word will bring us to that. Amen. He will expose everything contrary in His bride to take all those things out of her that's keeping her from that position. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we just thank you for this little time of fellowship around your Word with your children. Lord, and sit attentive and listening and amening. And so, Lord, I pray that you seal it away into their hearts. We love you, Lord. You are worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. We don't try to lift up any man anywhere. Lord, we honor what you have done. We honor the prophets and the different ones that have done the things through the ages to make it possible that we can hear these things. But we honor you, Lord, as you're in your great Holy Spirit, how you come and you bring to remembrance and you bring scriptures to us and quotes to us, Lord, at the time that they're needed. We love you, Lord. And we just pray, God, that as we go forward, you help each one of us to come to a greater understanding, Lord, that this is a work in you, that it's you that's in us to will and do your good pleasure. And so we just commit these things to you now and ask for your blessings upon each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I love him. Amen. You know, as you get older, you realize your days are getting closer and closer. I used to tell my grandmother when she was getting older, after I come to the Lord, and I tell her, you know, Grandma, and she'd say, you could go before I do, you know, and that's true. We all need to remember that. We could all go, and my Aunt Mary's granted, so I imagine she knows what I mean, but as you know, you get closer, and you start thinking, and the prophet said this, you begin to think, and you begin to tighten up, and you begin to realize, and you know, you begin to kind of letting go of things, maybe things that you wanted in life, and you kind of begin to let those things go. You're starting to prepare, and we want to do that. Amen. Amen. We want to do that in His Word. I'm not saying go get rid of anything physical. I'm saying get rid of this world, the things that hold you down. Amen. And get ready. Because if you look at world events and stuff, brother and sister, we could be home. It's such a crazy world. Oh, I love Him, and I love Him because He first loved me and He I love you. was going to let everybody know tonight that Brother Jonathan was going to be with us Sunday morning, but he texted me today and said he cannot make it this week. So it'll be the 27th that he's planning on being with us. So